Lord God, for your word. Please write it in our hearts so that it may be lived in our lives and shared with others. Through Jesus we ask. Amen. Please sit down. I'm going to preach from that second reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. It's the continuation of the account of the first Christmas. And, well, it shows us that God's way of bringing salvation continues to be surprising, even shocking. I think we're so used to the main account of Jesus' birth that we think it's not so surprising, but it is. And this is shown again as we continue the account of the first Christmas through in Matthew 2:13-23. The wise men from the east have visited Jesus and his parents, who are by now staying in a house in Bethlehem, possibly a few weeks or a few months after the birth in a stable. And things start getting even more dangerous. It's very interesting that God does not play safe if humans do their worst. Sometimes I hear Christians praying that everything will be safe, and that's their prayer. But for Jesus and his followers, things were often dangerous. Not danger for the sake of it, but the plan of salvation. The plan of the salvation of the world does involve danger, because our world has many upheavals and atrocities going on within it. And it's into that milieu that we are thrown in Matthew 2, verse 13 and following. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." So the infant Jesus was in danger of being killed by King Herod's soldiers. Herod was annoyed. He'd been deceived by the wise men. He'd thought he had a good plan to get rid of this new king. So then his ruthlessness is shown as he fulfills his plan anyway by getting rid of all of the under 2-year-olds in the neighborhood. But by then his parents had been given this other option, also risky, but obviously less dangerous option: flee to Egypt. It's very similar to the dilemma of families who were being bombed in Aleppo by their own armed forces, or attacked by the self-styled occupying forces who call themselves freedom fighters, or the slightly less dangerous option of fleeing to Europe as refugees. Sadly, our world is full of such dangerous dilemmas. And Jesus' family had this similar dilemma. And the choice of fleeing to Egypt was risky because the journey to Egypt was tough. The people traffickers and the rest. And it was dangerous in Egypt because the Egyptian people had not forgotten the way the Old Testament people of Israel had escaped from Egypt centuries before, to their shame. But this was the least worst option. And this rather dangerous least worst option was part of God's salvation plan. It fulfilled the prophecy. "Out of Egypt I have called my son," which is an allusion from the book of Isaiah and a quote from Hosea, where it is talking about God rescuing his own from bondage in Egypt. You know, Moses led the children of God out of slavery and escaped from Egypt, across the wilderness to the promised land in the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Well, salvation was dangerous then, but the people were saved. And now, in Jesus' time, Egypt, surprisingly, becomes a place of refuge for the Savior and his parents. It is strange how God turns things upside down in order to fulfill the same plan of salvation. And so Egypt, surprisingly, becomes a place of refuge for the Savior and his parents until he can return and the plan of salvation continues. It's not safe. God's salvation plan works through upheaval and danger, always has done. Did do in Moses' time, certainly did so in Jesus' time. Let's not be afraid of that, because the same is true in our times. God's plan of salvation for all the people of the world continues to work through massive upheavals. Let's not be afraid of that, but appreciate and worship the Lord who works his plan of salvation through the worst which humans throw at him and one another. Well, the next section is about what happened in Bethlehem after Joseph took his family away to Egypt in a hurry. And it was terrible. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. In verse 16, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learnt from the wise men. Now, the slaughter of the innocent infants by misguided authorities and soldiers is atrocious. Such atrocities are still committed in our world. There are killing fields in many places where Islamic State is active, and not only them. But even this atrocity did not derail God's plan of salvation. God works in the midst of human atrocity. His salvation plan continues amongst violent calamity. In the book of Exodus, chapter 1 starts with the Old Testament people of God being told to throw all their baby boys in the river. Truly awful. But out of that atrocity came baby Moses' adoption in Pharaoh's family and the start of the way in which all of the people of God escaped slavery and found freedom in the promised land. Now, don't get me wrong, when atrocities occur, the people who commit them will be held to account by God. But at the same time, it won't stop his plan of salvation. The Lord's salvation plan seems to continue, however cruel and despicable and godless people get. Because as it says in 17 and 18, even this was a fulfillment. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Who was Rachel? She was the mother of Joseph, the one whose brothers secretly sold him to Egyptian slave dealers and then pretended to his family that he had died. Well, she had died in childbirth, giving birth to Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin. Ramah is where the cry had gone out. And then after her death, Jacob, her husband, buried her body on the road to Bethlehem. All of these evocative places and their relevance to what was happening in Bethlehem at that time. Strangely similar sadness to that experienced in Bethlehem at that time, in Jesus' time, those who lost their infant sons. Saying out of Rachel's tragic circumstances had come Joseph, who saved his people from famine by providing generously for them in Egypt, where he had been sold as a slave. Now, in Jesus' time, out of King Herod's terrible cruelty has survived the Savior of the world, Jesus. The plan of God's salvation to be offered to all people comes out of a place of great sadness and tragedy. It's part of how God does things. It's not something to run away from or pretend doesn't happen or isn't relevant. It is part of how God does things, and it's very encouraging. If we are seeking salvation from God or seeking to address the questions people have about tragedy and the rest of it in our world, and how can God be there when all of this is going on? That's very obvious, isn't it? And especially in this Christmas story, that God is right there working out his salvation in the worst of times, in the worst of places. It reminds me of the verses in Romans 8. Because these things do raise questions. And here's the question. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are great upheavals in our world. There are more to come, and great atrocities. They'll be in the news this year. And this is not a signal to give up on God, because God does not give up on his world. If upheavals shake the world, God continues to work out his plan of salvation for all humans through Jesus Christ, the Savior, through the midst of those upheavals. If humans do their worst, still God's salvation plan continues to be worked out as God's people do quietly and faithfully what they are called to do. And look for the opportunities to work things out for the better as they share God's salvation. In Matthew 2, verse 19, the last section, Joseph and Mary come to another turning point. King Herod died, the one who wanted to kill Jesus. And so a messenger came and told Joseph, get up, take the child and the mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But Joseph and Mary weren't daft. When they got back to the land of Judea, Bethlehem, that sort of area, they were wise. They discovered that Herod's son was now ruling. And so they used their wisdom to not hang around in the area of Judea, but instead to go up to the backwoods of Galilee, away from things. When he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And after being warned in the dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. Even that was part of God's plan and the outworking of God's plan of salvation. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Even Jesus being brought up in the back of beyond, Nazareth, was part of the unfolding plan of God's salvation. So, when we hear of atrocities in this world, as we do again in this morning's news, let's not be diverted from working our part. Maybe very quietly, determinedly, faithfully, in God's plan of salvation. Sharing his good news, whether we're in a moving and shaking part of the world or in the backwards. And when we see the disturbing upheavals, we cry with those who cry, but we are not shaken because God continues his salvation plan through the ups and downs and the worst of human history. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation plan. Thank you for the way in which you worked it out through the ups and downs and the worst of human atrocity. Thank you, Lord, for the way you continue to work in our world. Please, Lord, enable us to be wise and faithful and keep our eyes on the continual outworking of your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen.